Well, good evening, church. Welcome back to Thomas Village Baptist Church. And I hope you've had a great day. We've had a great morning, had a super good cantata this morning, had a great service, and we're going to get our service started off tonight. And I want to welcome those out in Facebook land, and if you're out there in the parking lot listening, we're going to sing a song. So let's turn to pages number 160.
Good evening, everybody. How many of you got a nap by show of hands? Huh? It was a, what was the word this morning? The V word, substitutionary death. It was doggone, I can't even remember the word anymore. It was a vicarious nap today. Tonight we're beginning our lesson over in the book of John, chapter 14 and verse 19. John 14, verse 19. But man, it's been a great day to be in the house of the Lord, beginning in the house of Bowen this morning as we had the Lord's the sunrise service, and a sweet, sweet spirit there. Like I said, we had around 17 or 18 there with the men from recovery. Through Christ came and were with us this morning, and then having the cantata and our service today, and praise God, we had over 100 in the house today. So it was good looking. That's why those pages sounded so good. There were a lot of pages being turned, and then coming back tonight. And I'm not going to keep you long, Lord willing. Matter of fact, if y'all dictate the service, it's up to y'all how long it's going to be. But tonight, as we are going on, as you turn to the book of John chapter 14, with the idea of celebrating the resurrection, I would like to have a testimony service. And carrying on with the theme that because his resurrection, I am, and then that you fill in the blank. Now, I've got about 10 that I can go through tonight if y'all don't want to say anything. But if you're watching by Facebook or you're listening by the radio, we're thankful and grateful that you're here tonight. And we know that you could be anywhere else, and I pray that probably more people will be watching through the week as they are continuing on with the theme of Easter and the celebration. So if you do catch us on later in the week, we're still grateful that you've joined us. But also, we want to let you know that you're welcome here in person, and we would love to have you here, and you would be an honored guest. And to all of you that came this morning as our guest, we hope you come back and let us love on you a little bit more. But as you're turning to John chapter 14, do we have any words of praise or testimony before we go into our service tonight? Just something maybe the Lord's touched in your heart, your life this week? Again, I'm grateful that I am saved. I'm grateful that the Lord brought Talmadge and Maddie home safe, and that he and Amy was able to spend some time with Daddy and Mama. Talmadge and Daddy had to move out some hunting houses this week because he's lost some of his hunting land. And Talmadge said he tried to help him, but he couldn't stop him. That was the thing. He figured, I'd better help because I can't stop him. But do we have any prayer needs tonight?
We have a Don Burke family.
Don Burke. Thank you, sister. And we want to pray for you not to be too sore tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We will. Paul, what was it? Paul, Brother Otis's Stapleton. Yes, he had a procedure this week on his foot. Sister Lynn and Brother Otis has been lifting him up and dealing with diabetes. Anyone else?
Marsha.
Oh, amen, it's real. It's tough when you can't fix your baby's problems, ain't it? And I'm learning it more and more. Speaking of that, on the 11th, I think that's Tuesday, Maddie will be going for something. I ain't sure quite what it is. It may be surgery. It may be consult, but be praying for that. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Amen. Anyone else? They let her come home finally? Okay. Also, let's continue to lift up Mr. Leonard and Brother Danny Roten and Sherry and Sister Nancy. Anyone else? And always we want to remember the lost, those that don't know Jesus Christ, especially as we're in the season of the resurrection and all that Christ has done so that we don't have to go to hell, that he's made the free gift available. But also we want to pray for our ministries here. Don't forget the 28th, April the 28th, that we'll be having our youth revival, but also they'll be having at Lee Theater the same night, they'll be having a free viewing for all the teens that will come of the Jesus Revolution. I think that's the name of the movie. And so praise God that the gospel's going forth, you know, and just pray that the Holy Spirit will be able to move. Anything else? Again, the altar is open, and Brother Gary Bledsoe, would you open us up in a word of prayer tonight?
Yes. Celebrating, Lord, we just thank you for the victory that we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus. And no matter what our problems, no matter what our troubles, no matter what is going on in the world today, that Father God, I know that you are in control. Lord, spread all things.
Yes,
Lord,
Jesus. As we come to our final service on this resurrection, Easter Day, I'm mindful, and it just kindly struck me this afternoon, while I kindly wish we had canceled service tonight as I was tired, but, you know, this is the final time of this year that on Easter we'll be able to recognize and celebrate all that the resurrection has benefited us. You know, that's what agape love is. It is love that is willing to be burdened so that another can be benefited. And that's clearly what we see on the cross, on the suffering, and even in the resurrection. So look with me right there in verse 19 of John chapter 14. Are you there? And this is Jesus speaking, and he says, a little while longer, and we know that this is, they're in the upper room, I believe that it is, they're in, and Christ is explaining to them what's to come. And he's not going to have this opportunity for a while to sit down with them. And notice he says, a little longer and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. And listen to what he says. Because I live, you will live also. Right there is the one of the promises that we have that because of the resurrection, I almost went to Galatians chapter 2, I believe it is, verse 20 or verse 22, where it says, I am crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live. But it is not I who live, but it is Christ who lives within me. And so there is so much that we can build off of the theme for the day. Because of his resurrection, I am. So is there anyone tonight that has a thought, has a truth, has a promise that because of his resurrection, you are, you have, you know, anything like that?
Amen.
You get in my stuff. I'm cutting up with you. Anyone else? Amen.
Sins and no more.
That's right. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. And he is mine because of the resurrection. Anyone else? Amen. Amen. Isn't that amazing, though, that it's not what I do that makes him love me? He loves me because he is love. Maybe.
He definitely carries me through it, but he teaches me how to put his word in action in my life.
Amen.
As well as those around. He shows me good things all along the way through that trial that I can do, that I can trust him. He just
did. Amen. Thank you, sister. I was at the sunrise service this morning what God had put on my heart was about the, you know, letting our emotions be tied with our faith. And one of the things was that because he's resurrected, I am able to be who he created me to be. I can look back on my life, and I know I'm not all that God wants me to be, but there's been certain convictions, or what I thought were convictions, that were mine, but basically they had been imprinted on me. You know, that they were this teacher or that teacher, and I've traveled with evangelists, and I've been around. I mean, there's some that even today, if they hadn't known me before I had a beard, they wouldn't let me preach in their pulpit because they don't believe. It's crazy. But one of them is that we can't be emotional, especially as Baptists. We can't allow our emotions to get involved. But praise God, if we can't get excited or broken, if we can't get excited about Jesus, broken about lost people, then what are our emotions good for? You know? And so I'm thankful that God has allowed me to grow a little bit. Anyone else? Amen. They're his problems.
The Lord will take care of
you. That's right.
You have faith in him, believe in him. And you have to know how to do it well.
Is it John 6:30? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. 33. And all these things will be added unto you. That's what he commands us to do. Anyone else? That's my number one right there. That's my number one. I am forgiven. Because he is alive, because he rose from the grave. In Luke chapter 23, verse 24, you remember what he said on the cross as they began to cast lots for his clothing and all that? What did he say? Lord, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. I mean, that is just the whole picture of the forgiveness that Christ desires for us. And then in John 1:9, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise because of the resurrection. And then that was my number one. Because of the resurrection, I am forgiven. But then my number 1B was, because of his resurrection, I am obligated to forgive. I'm obligated to forgive. Because the reality of the resurrection should motivate us to that. Anyone else? Amen. Amen. That's one I hadn't thought about. That's one that I thought about the hope. Anyone else? Turn over to the book of Romans chapter 5. I'm going to run you through a few here just for a little bit. Romans chapter 5. Because my next one is because of the resurrection, I am forgiven. No, excuse me. The first one is because of the resurrection, I am forgiven. The second one is because of the resurrection, I am saved. I am saved. Now, if we're not careful, we can allow forgiven and saved to kind of just mesh together. But they're two completely different things. They all are from Christ and originate in his sacrifice for us. But are you in Romans chapter 5? Look at verses 9 and 10. Now, you remember, just before that is where it tells us that while he demonstrated his love, or his love was manifest in that while we were yet sinning, Christ died for us. And it tells us how rare it is for a just man to die for an unjust man. But listen to what it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 9. It says, much more, being now justified, notice we're justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by his death, by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by what? His life. Now, there's three things there. There's justification, reconciliation, and salvation. And all of those are different, but all are tied together. Notice, we are justified. The idea of being justified, because of His resurrection, I am justified. To be made right with, to be acquitted, to be vindicated. But notice, it's not just simply the resurrection, but it is His blood that makes us just. Without the shedding of blood, there's what? No remission of sins. So we see that it is the blood that makes us right. And then there is reconciliation. We were reconciled to God through what? His death. The idea of reconciliation means that there has been a position exchanged. We've been moved from where we were against God. We were the total opposite. And we were pushing against, and His ways were pushing against us. From being moved from that position to a position where we're conformed to God, to make consistent with one another. We've been made compatible with our Creator again. We've been brought into a place of harmony. And that is done through His death. So we have what the blood has done. We have what His death has done. And having been reconciled, then notice it says that we are saved. We are rescued. We are set free or liberated, extricated, or snatched, or I love this one, I've been bailed out by what? His life. Had He not risen from the grave, I would have still been, it's His life, it's His continued presence. You know, what does the Bible say? That He ever lives to intercede on my behalf. In His life, I find my salvation. And then if you want to jump over to John chapter 14, well, that's where we were tonight, wasn't it? John chapter 14, because of the resurrection, I am filled with the Holy Spirit. You thought about that? Because remember, the Holy Spirit was basically sporadic in the Old Testament, not to the extent that we believe, think about sporadic, but it was more of a one-on-one type relationship. It wasn't the blanket that we know today, that where if you accept Christ, you've been given the Holy Spirit. But in John 14, verse 16, it says, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you a helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you. I will not leave you an orphan. I will come to you." And then you ain't got to jump over there. Matter of fact, you can be turning over to, just a second, over to Matthew chapter 28. But Paul points out about the person of the Holy Spirit. He says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him." So if you do not have the Spirit dwelling within you, then you are not saved. You have not experienced what it means to have your sins forgiven and to have the blood applied to your life and the reconciliation and the justification that comes through the work. And again, you know, today we're celebrating the resurrection, but all that is involved in what we're recognizing with the resurrection. Are you in Matthew chapter 28? All right, because of the resurrection, I am blessed with Christ's presence each and every minute of the day. Because of the resurrection, I am blessed with God, with Christ's presence each and every minute of the day. Now, we know that the Bible teaches us that Jesus dwells within our heart. He lives within our heart. But in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, it says, "Go and make ye disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth." Now we know that specifically He was speaking to the apostles, as we entitle this the Great Commission. But the same commission is given to all believers, and it's the same Jesus who has made the promise to all of us. Any thoughts on the any of the ones that I've went through? All right, if you want to, here's another Bible drill. Flip over to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Flip over to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. And this is one that I had not seen until this week. I was listening to somebody's teaching, and it just kindly blowed my mind. You can, if you turn over to the Revelation chapter 3, then you can flip over to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. When you get there, say amen. All right, in Revelation chapter 3, he's talking to the seven churches, you know. He's speaking to them. And here he's specifically speaking to the church of Sardis. And we know that none of these churches really are still there today, you know. But listen to what he says in verse 4 of Revelation chapter 3. He says, "Yet you have still a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Now, if you read that, it kindly doesn't really say very much, but compare it to Revelation chapter 17, verse 8. Revelation chapter 17, verse 8. And because of the resurrection, I am eternally established as a child of God and as a citizen of his kingdom. Because of the resurrection, I am eternally established as a child of God and as a citizen of his kingdom. Now listen in Revelation 17, 8. You there? All right. He says, "The beast that you saw was and is not, and is about to raise from the bottomless pit and go to destruction. And the dwellers on earth," listen, "whose name have not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will marvel to see the beast, because it was and is not and is to come." Now, if there's some that their name has not been written since the foundation of the earth, then there's others whose names have been written. The books have already been in the book. Now, I know that leans a little bit to predestination, but I want you to think about this. Just because God knows does not make it happen, right? Do you think there's going to be any homes in heaven that nobody's going to live in? You think he's going to build too many or build too few? No, he's going to know exactly who's going to be there and who's not going to be there. And my name has been secure in him before I was ever born. And the same is true with whosoever. Just because he knows doesn't make it happen. He still allows us our free will. Now, none of us have total free will. Why? None of us picked who our parents are going to be. None of us said. But now I believe that having free will is the way that, one way that we're most like God, because nobody tells God what to do, do they? And in the same boat. Now, we know that no man comes unless God calls him. But at the same time, we know there's a parallel between the choice of man, that we must choose this day whom we will serve, that we all face that question as John the Baptist did. But because of the resurrection, I am eternally established as a child of God and a citizen of his kingdom. All right, I know you're thinking about that one, ain't you? But the Bible says that before the foundations of the earth, he was slain, and we were in him, is what Scripture says. Look over in the book of Philippians. Hold on just a second. I'll show you where it tells us this. Ephesians 1, verse 4. Ephesians 1. You got it? Read it. You want to read it?
Chapter 1, verse 4.
Yes, ma'am. So that says that we were established in him before the world was ever created, right? Our salvation was already secure. Our eternity was already established. Now, again, foreknowledge is not causation. I don't believe he makes us and we're not robots. Now, I know that not everybody believes that, and that's fine. I'm not wise enough to know how it all works out together. But I know he's got it took care of. And he can do it whatever way he wants to do it. And I'm not going to reject it. There's another one. Let me show you another one.
I read somewhere that he changes our want to.
Amen. Amen. Look at 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. And he does. And that's the thing. We know that the Bible teaches us that there are none of us who seeks after God, correct? It is God who pursues us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus said that no man can come to me unless my Father what? Calls him. Anybody at, you at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20? He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times. So what do we say? Christ Jesus was already there, right? He may not have had a physical form, but he was already who he was. You know what? Here's another one, and I didn't bring this up this morning because I basically threw out the whole second point because I got a little long on the first one. You know that it said 72% of evangelicals, professing evangelicals, believe that Jesus is a created being. 72%. Folks, no wonder our country's in the state that it is in. What they're saying is that they believe that Christ is a little g God. That's the idea that they're buying into. And so basically the idea is, yeah, we believe in Jesus. We can throw theology out. We can throw understanding in who he is. But praise God, I believe that Jesus is eternal. He always has been. Matter of fact, before the foundations of the earth, he was there. And when everything's said and done, he's still going to be there. And praise God, because of the resurrection, I'm going to be there with him. And I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to cling to it. He holds to me. He clings to me. All right? You want to look at some more before the foundation of the earth scripture? We got plenty. That's over Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 11, isn't it? Whom he foreknow, he did predestine. That's what the Bible teaches us. Now, the definition of them words is where we split the hairs. But you can't throw it out, can you? I don't know. There was one man who wanted to throw out the whole book of James. I think it was Martin Luther. He wanted to throw out the book of James because he felt like it taught a work salvation and was compared. All right, you over there in Romans chapter 8 of it? Is it chapter 8? Look at chapter. Okay. No, I'm in Corinthians. There you go. Okay. Let's see. I think it's 8. I believe it's at the end of 8. All right, yeah. Chapter 8, beginning in verse 28. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 28. And y'all love it. This is one of our favorites, right? And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestine, he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. Whom he justified, he also glorified. And so, what we see there is, I believe, what is it? He knows. He knows the heart of man before we're ever created, right? And he knows what direction we're going to go. He knows. Here's the thing. No matter how much the gospel is preached, no matter how much the love of Jesus is presented, there's going to be some folks that never will receive it. Never will receive it. But then God knows the hearts as well. And it's by his grace and his power. And so how does that work out? I don't know. But I believe in his foreknowledge, knowing what is, what has he done? He's established a way for us. And because he's established that way, because based on his knowledge, then there's, sure, he's going to secure us. It's through his blood that we're transformed, that we're the elect through the blood of Jesus Christ. Anyone who comes through the blood is the elect. Amen? Any other thoughts on that one? I know. We don't like to deal with certain scriptures like that when it gets a little tough. Amen. The idea is that in no way will our names be blotted out. You know what that shows? Eternal salvation. You can't lose it. I mean, it's not going to go anywhere because he does it completely, fully. You know, there won't be any smudges in the Lamb's Book of Life. There won't be any mistakes in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, see, our minds are so infinite, our minds are so small, that we can't put that all together in a form that it makes sense. It's got to be one or it's got to be the other. But what do we talk about? How many of you have ever seen a disco ball? Have you ever counted how many mirrors is on them? There's too many to count, right? And every one of those mirrors reflects light in a different way. It presents life in a way that the other one doesn't, right? Because of the angle and everything. The Bible teaches us that that's the way our God is. He is manifold, or he has many. He is so beyond that he's even more elaborate than a disco ball. And praise God, we can't make him jive in our mind. He's bigger than who we are. He's bigger than our reasoning. He's bigger than our understanding. All right, the next one. Because of the resurrection, I am assured of a new body and an upgrade that is not of this world. Amen? That's a promise. Now, while I'm uncertain of all the bells and whistles that's going to come with this upgrade, there are certain things that I can know about this upgrade. We can jump all the way back to Job chapter 19, beginning in verse 25. He says, "For I know my Redeemer lives, and at the last day he will stand where? On this earth. He's going to stand on this earth. And after my skin has been destroyed." Okay, there's one thing I know, that I'm not going to get this upgrade probably while I'm still in this vessel. I'm going to have to let this vessel go. It's going to wear out. But he goes on to say, "But yet in my flesh I will see him." So while it's not going to be the same upgrade, it's going to be somehow similar. It's going to be made of some type of flesh. "In my flesh I will see God, whom I will see for myself. And my eyes shall behold him and not another. My heart faints within me." So I know that I'm going to have to let go of this vessel so that I can get an upgraded version. Also, if we look over in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, we're clear that this about how, something else about this upgrade. He says in verse 20 of Philippians 3, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body," meaning that what we're in now is of a vile or a weaker state. "But he's going to transform that lowly body into one like his glorious body." Right? So we're seeing that we're going to go from the low to the high. Matter of fact, it's going to be like a body, like the body that Jesus Christ had when he arose from the grave. Now think about this. He was able to walk. He was able to talk. He was able to eat. So we see that there's some things we know that's going to be familiar about it. But also, what was it? He was able to walk through walls. He didn't have to have the door open for him at the first Sunday night service. Remember when they gathered in the upper room? What else? When he was there with the men on the Emmaus Road, what happened? Did he have to run away to get away from them? No, it says immediately. Once they recognized who he was, and you remember how they recognized him, don't you? The way he prayed. It was the way he blessed his meal. What happened? He was gone. So see, there's things that's going to be familiar, but there's also going to be other things that will be just mind-blowing. And then we can also confirm that how it's going to happen. It's going to be transformed. That vessel will be changed by what? The power of Jesus Christ. It's going to be through His power. And then if we jump back to Job, there's something else we know. We're going to be able to see. We're going to be able to look at Him. We're going to have the ability or what do we call that? The one of the five senses. Now, I'd say there's going to be more than five. I believe there'll probably be more than five. But then if you look, and I'm not going to read all this, that this upgrade that's coming, this new body, it's not just because God wants to give us a good gift, but there's a purpose for it. And if you read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 36 through 34, and then you read on in verses 51, let me read 51, 50 and 51. He says, I tell you this, brother, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. There's a purpose right there. One of the reasons why we're getting an upgrade is so that we can be citizens, productive and a part of the citizen of His kingdom. He goes on to say, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise, be raised, imperishable. You hear that? There's another thing, that this body is not going to fade like the one we have now. This upgrade is going to be a lasting upgrade. The vessel that we get. And again, think about this. The work that Christ done, it's not just to save us partially. You understand? It's not just for our souls, but it's for all of us as the whole, as the total. We are going to be totally and completely saved. And then he says, also, he likens this upgrade to like sowing corn or wheat in a field. When the old body drops off, like we read back in Job, then there is an expectation that just like when we put seed in the ground, that there's going to be a fresh fruit that rises there. The same is true about this upgrade, that it's with expectation that we let go of the new body. So because of the resurrection, I am assured of a upgrade in my vessel. Any thoughts on that? All right. Two more. Because of the resurrection, I am aligned daily. Now think about this. I am aligned daily with supernatural power that is unlike any power found on this earth. Yeah, what you get excited. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation to the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what is the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His great might. Now think about that. Every day that we walk, every day that we live, because He rose from the grave, then the supernatural power, greater than any power that's known by man, is upon us, around us, and acting on our behalf. I mean, that's why Paul said, I'm praying that God opens your eyes. I'm praying that God lets you see your riches, your hope, and the power that is you're aligned with. And then because of the resurrection, I'm living a life of meaning and purpose that extends beyond this world. The life that He's given me and that He's called me to is not going to stop when I cease to be here. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Well, and then I had one more because I needed to round it to 10. Because of the resurrection, I am engaged in a life that will never ever end. Never ever end. Now, it's going to change locations, but we're coming back here. He's going to purify all this. He's going to establish his kingdom here. And all of that, because of the resurrection, simply put, I'm blessed. Because of the resurrection, I am blessed. And I forget that a lot. I forget just how blessed I am. And you know, there's so many more promises, gifts, assurances that are in this scripture, that are in this word. And the more that we study them, the more I believe that our eyes will be open, like Paul was praying for the people there. Any thoughts tonight about the power and the gift of the resurrection and the effect that it's had upon those who have partaken and come apart, have surrendered to Christ Jesus? You're going to go home and study that one. I know you are. You're going to look at it. It's going to make you think about it. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Predestination only affects the Christian. Mm-hmm. Become a Christian, then just as Ephesians 2:10 says, he has a plan and a purpose. You're predestined to his plan and purpose in your life. But it's not like the world wants to throw everything out of children with that word, you know.
No. This topic is one that you're either going to decide to let it be divisive. You're going to decide to know it all, and that you got it all right, or either you're going to say that this is one area that I'm going to leave to God. I think He's given me insight on it, but you know what? He does it the way He does it. That don't mean none of it means that we not should share the gospel, whether you believe that it means it's predetermined or you believe that it's after. The Bible says, go and make disciples, right? Go and make disciples. Now, I think you know me better. I'm a whosoever man, buddy. I mean, you ain't got to worry about me. But, praise God, there's a... Who was it? I talk about him a lot. Spurgeon. Spurgeon said that the free will of man and the sovereignty of God are two rails on the same track. And guess where they come together at? The throne of God. Pretty good explanation to me. Leave it there. Any other thoughts tonight? What I know is that when God does something, He does it completely. It's done. Any other prayer needs tonight? Do be praying for our loved ones that don't know Christ, because it affects the whole family, decisions and what's going on. All right, just stand with me and open up your psalm book to page 407. This is how we're going to close out tonight. Instead of prayer, we're going to close out in psalm. 407. Do you know what it is? Yes, ma'am. That's like John 3:16, where I was raised. They go hand in hand. 407, and we'll sing. How many are there? Five of them? Three of them? Only three? Oh, we'll sing all three. God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds my future and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives, because of the resurrection, because he lives. I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds my future and life is worth the living just because he lives. This next one, because of the resurrection. And then one day I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds my future and life is worth the living just because he lives. God bless you. Thank you for your faithfulness.